Welcome, everybody. This week we have Janice Lenar, and I'm so excited. She has a private practice here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's Cognitive Shift Psychotherapy. She's a LPC relationship and sex therapist. She has kind of the mentality of all-inclusive and non-monogamy and fun and exciting and welcoming when she's working with her people. And so she also works in Texas and in Colorado. She's licensed in both. So I'm excited that she's here. One of my favorite things about her, y'all, is that she has this rocking podcast. I love it. And so I'm excited. It's her space, hersexualspace.com. And most of y'all have already heard about it, but we're going to link it down below in the bio. And like, if you don't go check it out, I don't even know. You don't even know what you're missing. So there you go. And Janice, I'm so excited to have you today. How are you?
I am good today. I got some good sleep. My husband took both boys to school this morning, so I got to sleep in a little bit. And I also got to enjoy, a recent podcast milestone, and I shared it on Facebook, and I did an offering to help other women and other women who want to do podcasts. And I'm just so glad that I'm able to do this and use everything that I've learned over the last year to support other people. So that's amazing. I love it. So I'm doing great.
I do. Oh no, I can't even tell you, like, you are such a light. And I've listened to your podcast because especially the pelvic floor specialist that came in right after mine.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, I like all of them, but that one really helps a lot of my clients because of sex therapy and because, you know, dealing with different struggles that they have. Anyway, she was very informative and it was a very welcoming conversation. I enjoyed it and have sent it to some of my clients.
Great.
I know. I love it. Because she's here local, right?
Yes. Yeah. She's in Plano.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually think I mentioned her name and one of mine had heard of her as a possible doctor, as a possible person to go to.
Okay. Well, she's amazing.
So I said, you should go listen to the podcast because she's on there and that way you can see me.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I've been listening to you started yours way before mine. I remember we talked on, it was one of the, you know, the mixes, right? Of Shah, when you had just started. Yeah. And I followed you immediately and I listened. Yeah. You've been rocking it. You're committed.
I'm not, you know what? Yeah. I am. It's kind of funny. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's not, I'm not fancy. And I think that one of the things has been so fun is that it's been me.
Yeah.
And that's cool. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's grown as I've grown with this.
Yeah.
But I think that's also true. You know, like I listened to some of yours. Anyway, I know this is not all about podcasts, but I do have to say this. The reason why I even brought it up is because these are so powerful to just allow people to connect and not that they have to agree with everything, not that they have to, it has to coincide with how they feel, but that understanding of that, hey, oh, wait, there's a different perspective out there.
And
I can consume it at my own pace. And I love that. I love that. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's what we do it for. And I think the biggest part of this, so I am an Afro-Caribbean woman, and that identity means so much to me. I have experienced a lot of my childhood in the Caribbean and a lot of my adulthood in the U.S. So I get to share the blended experiences that I've had. And for people on my island, we're very conservative. Religion is a big part of our culture. And some of those topics, people share them in small circles, but I think for the first time, someone could just come out and say, yeah, we're talking about this, you know, let's have this conversation. So I think a lot of it, and half of my listeners are from the Caribbean. So I think it's just an opportunity to just speak to some of these conversations that people are already having. And I think for me, as a sex therapist too, is safety, consent, all of those things that if you're doing it, I want you to do it in a way that is safe. And that's it. That's it.
I love that. And that is how you show up in this world. I like that. Today we're going to be talking about one of your primary things, and that's relationships.
Yes.
And how they connect. And we're going to kind of go with it. We had kind of talked about maybe some relationships, you know, the bliss of being in the beginning. I always say 6 months to a year and a half, anybody can be anything to anyone. And then you got to start putting in the other part of it. So anyway, that's kind of where I wanted to start. And then some of the hurdles and then maybe some of the strengths that they have. We'll kind of do that. And that, if that's okay with you, does that sound good?
For sure. Yeah. So I didn't think that I would end up in the relationship space, honestly. Although I'm a relationships person, I've always been in relationships, different types of relationships, like not just romantic, but relationships mean a lot to me. So I went the LPC route. Although the first time I looked up any program, it was marriage and family, which was so interesting looking back. But I ended up going the LPC route because of the flexibility and convenience and all that thing, you know, all the things at the time. But I found myself in this place where, you know, connection means a lot. You know, we were made for relationships, you know, whether it's, you know, our family, our friends, you know, our partners, we were designed for that. And I think a lot of us, we didn't get great models of what relationships can look like, you know, and even the creative aspect to it. Like, okay, like, does my relationship have to look one way according to who's ever relationship, or can I design a relationship that really supports me and how I move in the world? So I worked through some of that with my clients, you know, like relationship design, relationship configurations, and just debunking some of those ideas that we had early on about, you know, marriage. And you know, some people desire marriage, and that's okay. I am also married, but I can see how other people can thrive with just not being in that type of institution. So I tend to normalize that a lot for my clients. And also, even talking about dating, I think there are lots of conversations that people skip over in the dating phase. And then oftentimes when they decide to move forward, we have to pull back. We never talked about parenting. We never talked about how our families will be involved. You know, like, there are just lots of things, little things too, but they could cause big problems, you know? So I enjoy just working through that with my clients. Of course, personal development is huge for me. That also comes up as well. But I see so many aspects of relationships. So it's so broad, right? But my philosophy, my ideals, I definitely subscribe to Gottman. Everyone does, you know. So when I see couples, usually they're already in a crisis. So there's been an infidelity. There's been something that has caused a disruption. And the point is to help them work through that trauma. But at the core, I always mention that this could be where we decide if this is going to work or it's not going to work. The therapy is not going to save a relationship, right? It can save it, but I don't advertise, or I don't tell them that this is what's going to fix everything. Because you may decide that's not going to work anymore.
You know what? That's good that you say that, because I do. Yeah. I do too. I feel like that's a very important fact. People come in for the Hail Mary part of it, is what I say. And I say sometimes the Hail Mary works, sometimes it doesn't. But what it does do is it helps you either finish the game or exit the game healthy. And making healthy choices for all the people that are involved in the system, right?
That's it.
So,
I love that.
I love that too. You know what? The more we talk, the more I realize how much I like how you do practice.
So that's just it's so interesting. And I see so many people at different stages, and I learned so much from the people I work with, you know, about relationships, about how we show love, how we can be and exist, you know, and show up as ourselves in our relationships. And that's just something that I grew from too, honestly. Yeah.
Well, oh yes. Oh, my clients teach me much more, I think, sometimes than what I teach them. And it is a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. I may be able to put it into a format and model it so that they can use it in their lives in a different way, tweaking it to a little bit healthier. Mm-hmm. But I learn different perspectives on a daily basis. So whenever you're in that first part of, like, I actually get to work with a lot of people who are deciding that they kind of want to get married. And so they're like doing the pre-marital. Yes. And it's interesting, especially with the lesbian community. Mm-hmm. And so, because they know how important communication is now, the younger generations. And so they come in. So what are some of the things that you see whenever people first come in? I know the rose colored glasses and the romanticizing and kind of grounding them. Or do you even see a lot of people come in at the beginning?
I don't think I have. I don't. I usually see clients when they're about to make some major transitions. So whether that's moving in together for the first time, so we need to figure out what that looks like. If they're about to maybe start a family, if they're thinking separation, divorce, or if they're reconfiguring their relationship. So maybe they were in a monogamous relationship for decades, and now they're wanting to transition into something that is monogamish or open, or, you know, however they decide to style it. So that's typically what I see. I don't see a lot of premarital. I have had people reach out, but they didn't, I think they went to someone else. I haven't seen a lot of that. But what I do see, especially in the lesbian community, is that communication, that checking in. Like, there's just so much that I see there that I wish I would see that more in my heterosexual partners. Because they come in and they already have that. And what we're working on more is just maintaining that and conflict management and all those other tools, right? And also codependency, because I see that too. How am I individual? How am I autonomous, but also connected, right, to my partner? So that's kind of what I see. Yeah.
Yep. That sounds good. You know what? You just use that term, and like all of the people who do listen, they know I'm Bowenian, and so they probably went, "Oh, differentiation of self in a relationship."
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, and I think that is so crucial. Because once again, you get this glamorization that two become one, right? you are my everything. All of a sudden, I do not exist and you are my everything, you know? So I help people maintain some of them, right? Like, who are you when you're not connected to this person, or you're not connected directly in this relationship? Because I think some, especially for women, oftentimes we can lose ourselves, you know, and we look back and it's like, who am I? You know, what are my hobbies? What do I like doing? Well, when I'm not taking care of the kids, when I'm not with my husband, who am I?
So
I have to maintain that. Yeah.
Yeah, that socialization is so strong. Like you mentioned, heterosexual relationships, especially monogamous heterosexual relationships. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of times that autonomy is lost because, you know, the female-male dynamic is females take on all of this.
Yes.
And males are responsible for only this. And by the way, nurture, but yet males don't show emotions. Be strong, but yet be aware and, oh yeah, make the money and that'll show that you're taking care of your family. But no, you got to be home to take care of your family. So I do think that, so in heteronormative relationships, I think that one of the things that gets brought in is a lot more of the social dynamic as far as these wedges that have been put so far apart.
Yeah.
And you know, you're supposed to be the one that communicates. You're supposed to be the emotional one. And so I think that training comes sometimes not because the couple wants it, but because it is just so innate. Like everybody does it the same way and not even realizing it. But
yeah,
I think that's awesome.
But it reminds me too that, you know, and I often say it out loud, that there is just a dynamic to just non-traditional relationship and just the LGBT community that I like, because there are things that we're not stuck on, you know, and for me, I think that just makes, not like I'm looking for easy therapy, but it just makes it a little bit more, I don't know, it moves with ease, because there are not a lot of deconstructing to do. I feel like sometimes this, that socialization part is already taken care of. Like we've dealt with that. We don't subscribe to that. We don't conform. So that's like a great place to start for me. I find like with my values, that works great for me. But oftentimes too, sometimes I get stuck. I get stuck with, you know, traditional.
The traditional, yes. And I do understand that. Even I'm older, and even in my world, it's the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I have to really make sure to have that balance and not, mm-hmm. oh, she's supposed to do this and I'm supposed to do that. Yes. And continuing that balance of connection. Well, so whenever they do hit those bumps, such as infidelity or desire differentiation, mm-hmm. or desire, you know, differences, mm-hmm. or where do you start and where do you work with the most kind of, mm-hmm. I guess, in a general, how do you kind of see the biggest part of what you have to move through and how do you move on through those?
So the thing is, I like going back to their love story, you know, like where did this all begin, right? Like, you know, I love going there so I can get a clear picture of where this started. Because I know for some, like you were talking about the early stages of the relationship, there was just so much, you know, so much in the honeymoon phase that we accept, we flow with. Like you said, anybody can be anything within the first 6 months. So I go back to that because oftentimes there were corrections that were not made. Right. And then we just pursued the relationship for several reasons. Right. For some people, you know, this was the first time they felt safe with someone, or, yeah, this is what my family wants for me. They want me to be married to this person and start a family. So many reasons. Like, there are so many reasons people get married these days. So we go back to that. And then, of course, like if they're coming in a crisis, I like to assess for safety, right? Just mm-hmm. to be sure that they are safe. No one's being threatened. I like to hear the conversations they're having. So even in therapy, I'm paying attention to how they talk to each other. I feel like that shows kind of what happens behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So I look out for that. But also I start to help them think about things a little differently. So we explore what it would look like if, you know, I'm trying to think of an example right now. It's not coming. But I try to get them to think a little differently about their relationship. Of course, I ask about models, you know, growing up, like what are some relationships you looked up to or you admired? And some people had that. Some people had zero models. When it came to relationships.
You have to step back, yeah. And you have step back and you have to say, what would you want it to look like? And then give them permission to start modeling that in their relationship.
Yes. Like, yeah, that's it.
I can do that. And I'm like, yes. Right now.
Yes. So that's it. You said it. So that's the next step. And slowly, for some persons, this can be really overwhelming because they never thought that, wow, I can make a decision about my own relationship and move on with that. And they're hearing that for the first time, or they're feeling like they have permission to do that for the first time. And so we start, you know, where are we now? And where do we want to be? If we want to be together, where do we want to be? You know, and I'll start like short term, the next few months, the next year, you know, whatever goals you have. And we work to that. We work towards that. And that might be, you know, maybe someone helping out more in the home. So if we talk about just home management, you know, dividing labor, that sort of thing, oftentimes that's kind of what comes up. Some people freak out, you know, people who don't do therapy don't understand what comes up in the office, but sometimes that's what it is. Someone is, you know, not doing something. And because of that, one person is overwhelmed, and because they're overwhelmed, I I can think about sex. Sex is not something that comes up when I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah. You know what? And I bet you do see this a lot in your practice because you do work with women and giving them such a secure space that women are now expected to do full-time jobs, but nothing's changed in the home.
And
a lot of women don't want to give up some of those things, but you can't, you're literally a human. You have to give it somewhere. So what is that? Do you see that a lot? I would imagine
I do. And even with that, we explore, what can I outsource? What can I delegate? How do I get my kids involved in some of this? Because I think sometimes it falls back on us because we don't want to let go. Because we believe that, what kind of woman am I if I cannot do these things, right? Because of socialization, once again. So it's a great place to start. And for the first time, I think some women are realizing that, you know what, I can have some balance. I can have some balance if I can just speak up and say what I need when I need it, you know.
Because then it invites them into the conversation. If they don't invite their partner into the conversation and the partner doesn't invite them into conversations, it's so constricted. And whenever you start to do the invitation, then it's not, oh, wait, I have to have sex for him or, you know, for it's like, oh, wait, I actually think I would love to get dinner done and dishes done tonight. And so I'm going to ask for help because this is something that I want. And and women do struggle with that too, and having the desire.
And also you want to be, you know, they also need to feel safe, you know? So I do a lot of role plays and demonstrating healthy conversations. Oftentimes, you know, like if we go back to Gottman, there is just a lot of defensiveness, a lot of criticism, contempt. There's just so much that shows up in the way most couples talk to each other. And we're working on that for the first time. How do I express my needs without being passive aggressive or defensive? Different ways to communicate, right? Sometimes it might be hard at first to say these things face-to-face and maintain eye contact. But if it helps, just text your partner and say, you know, hey, this is what I'm going to need tonight. I'm really exhausted. I want to get to bed early. Would you be able to handle this? You know, there's so many ways we can communicate now. But I prefer if we can do it face-to-face. But I think starting off, if you want to get comfortable, right, saying these words, that's the way to do it. You know, I'll leave a note. There's so many ways. You can get so creative.
I know. You know what? And texting, I did one of the biggest things, I think, whenever I started working with couples, and you may have experienced this too, is that I didn't realize that people said that they were communicating. We were talking about. And then I finally was sitting in a session. I'm like, are you texting or talking? A long time ago, and I'm like, oh my gosh, wait a minute. No, let's. So now that is a regular part. I'm like, okay, texting, talking is a regular part.
Let's differentiate.
Because it is a good stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful one. But I love how you say, but I want to get you to the talking. Once you get a little bit desensitized to saying some of these things and that, and you feel secure, get us to the talking. I love that.
I think just getting them comfortable saying the words, constructing those sentences, right? It's more of a brain thing, right? I can say this and it's okay to express that. And even like sharing emotions. We don't often like use all of the vocabulary we have for emotions. So one of the first things I do is, here's some emotions, you know, figure out what comes up for you on the regular. Be specific, right? Sometimes we say tired, and tired can mean a lot of things. We say angry, and we know anger, there's so much under there. Like, you know, so I help them do that first, you know, express that. Even with kids and teens, that is so important because that's where it starts.
Yes, ma'am. The feelings wheel, a lot of my clients have it on their phone because they know that I'm going to ask him, and I say, take a picture of it because I'm going to need to know the emotion that you're having with it. And we kind of joke about it. But then later they're like, you know, oddly enough, I was kind of not attaching like the right emotion with stuff. Yeah. And it was just the topical. And I think that's a very powerful thing in relationships. Mm-hmm. And so you add communication and understanding the emotions, mm-hmm. like you said, and how to share those and the modeling. Oh, I just mm-hmm. love the modeling in that secure environment. Mm-hmm. And then what do you see they kind of pull out and they feel strong about? And then whenever they do kind of get over that hump, and whether that means they get over the hump and decide mm-hmm. to co-parent or anything, as far as I'm concerned, if you walk out a healthier human, that's my goal. I know that some people don't like that, but that's my goal. I'm hoping that that's together, mm-hmm. but it has to be the healthy human, right? Yeah. And so whenever you kind of get through that and to that point, what are some things that you really see in your practice and some things that you love and some things that you're like, you know,
it's that growth for me. It's seeing them feel more confident, being able to speak up, you know, and I use speak up so much because I want people to have a voice. I want them to not just, you know, I'm not that I have anything against being compliant, but I think for some of us, because of how we were raised, we're just not assertive, and assertive comes up a lot for me. So seeing people show up that way in their relationships, in their jobs, in their relationships, friendships, everything, that for me is growth. That for me is progress. And I wish I could be that in the current relationships, but sometimes, you know, it expires. And as we go into other relationships, we're better. We're better for it, and we know what we want. So that's kind of what I see and what I hope for the clients that I work with, to get to that point and feel good about themselves and embrace all of the parts of themselves. Yeah.
Powerful. What modalities do you usually use, or what do you feel like is the most? I know Gottman you mentioned. Yeah. I know. I was curious because I use systems. I use Bowenian, but a lot of different techniques with that and things. But what do you feel like, or do you feel like there's anything? Do you feel like you sit with the client, and, you know, whenever you interviewed me, that was kind of one of the things you said. It's kind of like present with the client.
Yeah. So for me, I start off very solution focused, you know, what's going on. Let's get to it. Asking those hard questions. But I'm also very psychodynamic because I go back to developmental stages. I like to figure out what tasks were completed in different stages and, you know, where we didn't have support, you know, what we skipped, you know, and I love looking at those things as well. I also look back to childhood a little bit to see what templates were downloaded. What templates were downloaded for relationships and how to be, right? So it's a mix. It's a very interesting mix. I do go back to systems sometimes. My program, we did do systems, and I use a little bit of it. So I like to think that it's an interesting mix. It's eclectic. I figure out what the client needs and just go with it. Just go with it. Yeah. And it's so different. Everyone you meet will be at a different stage of maturity. You know, for some people, we really have to start off really light because for the first time they're talking to someone. And I can't just dump all these, you know, lingos on them. So we start off really light. Just talk with me. Talk with me about your day. Talk to me about your routines, your lifestyle. Let's start there.
That. You meet them where they're at. And mm-hmm. I love that. That's awesome. What are some things that you feel like are your strengths in your private practice that help with kind of this dynamic of moving through relationships?
Yeah. So I feel like I'm extremely introspective, intuitive. I'm a little unusual. So I might get someone thinking something that they've never thought of before, or bringing up a question that really sparks, wow, no one has gone there before, right? So I think that helps. That helps for me, my clients. It helps with the depth of therapy. And mm-hmm. also, it supports me throughout my life and all the things I do and take on. And I think I model that very well for my clients. And I hope that when they leave the office or they leave the telehealth screen, they can experience some of that in their own relationships. Because like I said, I meet people at different stages and grown-ups too, you know, that just struggle with, you know, how do I say this? How do I say this? How do I not, you know, carry this burden, you know, and just speak up sometimes, you know? And I think for a lot of people that I see, confrontation is hard. Confrontation yes. is hard. And that is part of communication and relationships. So it's going to be a time where you're going to have to say something. And I find that persons rather suck it up and be uncomfortable.
Right.
Instead of saying, hey, you know, this came up for me when X, Y, and Z happened. And I wanted us to talk about that.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. That's perfect. And I'm glad that you did hit on that, because confrontation yeah. in relationship, there is healthy confrontation. Mm-hmm. It's healthy to work yeah. through problems. And yeah. so it's good to work through the little ones so that that way you can then move through the big ones with those mm-hmm. same skills that have been kind of nurtured in the relationship. Oh, you're awesome. Is there anything about relationships that you're just like, ooh, spot on, I got to mention this, that you we didn't mention or that you want to mention?
Yeah, my goodness. Nothing's popping up right now. But I love relationships. I love, you know, even in my life, like I have so many different types of relationships. And I think the key thing is leaving room for people to evolve, right? The me you knew from 20 years ago, you know, that's going to change, right? So I think for a lot of people, they're afraid of that growth, and for people thinking they changed, or, well, that's not the you I knew, right? So I think leaving room for people to evolve, and it can be beautiful watching someone grow into themselves. You know, that process can be beautiful. And even in marriages too, your partner is going to grow. They're going to change in ways, and, you know, you decide whether or not the change works for you. But I think oftentimes we expect people to stay the same. Yeah, that's not living.
I think that's well said. Yes, yeah. yes. Because change is so scary, and it doesn't matter yeah. if it's good or bad. It's just always very scary. Mm-hmm. And for some people, and some people are like, no, let's change all the time, because not changing is scary. Mm-hmm. Get it?
Yeah.
And so I think that yeah. your understanding of relationships, you're very connected to how everything yeah. moves together and journeys are done. And it's not that it has to stay mm-hmm. together in one path, but you understand that relationships, no matter what, they evolve into something. No matter what. And I love that. That's what I'm hearing.
Into something.
Yes, yes. They do. They do. They yeah. evolve into something.
And yeah. And I trust that. I trust that even in marriages too, and even in mine, that we continue to grow, right? And if we get to a place where this no longer works, that's okay too, right? I think that security within self and just wanting the best for people. That's it, right? I think sometimes we view, and yeah, there's grief, you know, with the end of a lot of things, but just being comfortable with life, right? This is life. We're living.
Oh, I love that. Because you know what? You do want the best for whoever yeah. you've said and made these commitments to. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's hard to say, I want the best for you. And I know that's going to be over here.
Yeah.
And that is painful. That having that autonomy mm-hmm. is so important. Oh my gosh. I cannot even tell you how honored I am that you joined us for the podcast today. Yeah. And oh, I'm so excited. And so if there's anything that you have thought of or that you feel like, you know, we left out, Now, is there anything else that you thought of or remembered?
No, I think this was great. I think we touched on some really cool things, and I hope the listeners can connect with it.
I think so too. And so this kind of, it lets me know that I want you guys to listen to her podcast. It is beautiful, and she does do some great work. It's hersexualspace.com, and we will have it listed below. So it thanking you for showing up. And then I would also like to thank all the wonderful humans out there that joined us for the chat. We look forward to having you again on the next episode of Melinda Chats. Until then, please remember, be kind and present with yourself. Hi, everybody. Melinda here with Melinda Chats. This is a reminder that this is not a therapy session, nor is it a replacement for your personal relationship with your therapist. If anything that we discuss here brings something to the surface that you feel like you need to talk about, please reach out to your therapist. Or if you want to reach out to me, you can find me at mcpcounseling.com, and I'll be more than happy to help. That leads me to thank you wonderful humans for being here with us for this chat. We look forward to seeing you for the next episode on Melinda Chats. Please remember, be kind and present with yourself.